to another episode of Business Beyond Borders. Today, we're very excited to have with us Sean An, who is an investment officer at the International Finance Corporation, or IFC for short. With over a decade of experience, Sean has led remarkable transactions globally, covering diverse asset classes such as equity, mezzanine, distress, corporate, and project finance. His expertise spans across multiple sectors, including agribusiness, consumables, natural resources, and infrastructure, showing his remarkable acumen and versatility in the financial landscape while delivering impact in key emerging markets. Prior to joining the IFC, Sean was also a management consultant at Bain & Company, with a career that has taken him from Hong Kong to Mumbai to San Francisco, Washington, D.C., and beyond. Sean brings with him valuable global insights and industry knowledge, which we're very excited to learn more in today's podcast episode. Welcome, Sean. Welcome to today's podcast.
Thank you, Daphne. Thank you for having me and very flattering introduction.
No, you're too humble. But maybe we can kick off with you sharing with us more about what your day-to-day work at IFC looks like today as an investment officer.
Yeah, sure, Daphne. So maybe I'll provide a bit of my personal background as well. I am originally from Korea,
okay.
But I grew up in Indonesia. So ultimately, sort of what I do on a day-to-day basis, I actually leverage quite a bit of my personal background as well. So what I'm doing is one part of the work I do is to source and look at new investment opportunities on behalf of IFC. So, you know, getting in touch with my personal context and professional context that I've built over time in these various countries that you've just mentioned, like India and San Francisco and Indonesia, yeah. Singapore, and so on. And a significant amount of the effort also is being spent on sort of assessing those opportunities, like financial mm-hmm. sustainability on behalf of, again, IFC. Also, perhaps for the listeners to be, maybe I'll just give a quick introduction of what IFC does. Mm-hmm. IFC is the private sector investment arm of the World Bank Group, and therefore we invest in various types of instruments, including common equity, mezzanine, and debt. And but at the same time, we are a development institution, and what we do is to create international development through mm-hmm. these investments. So that's in a nutshell what I do at IFC.
Very nice. And what made you decide to embark on a career journey and join IFC?
So going back to my personal background, I grew up in Indonesia, although I'm Korean by nationality. So I've been exposed to emerging markets in the sense that Indonesia was and still is a developing country. Mm. I was very passionate about working in Indonesia when I grew up. But also at the same time, I wanted to do it at an international organization. So that's part of the reason why I applied to IFC after right. business school. And I was fortunate enough to get an opportunity to join about 11 years ago.
Very nice, very nice. And I think your career at IFC has taken you to many different countries that you have also alluded to earlier, from, you know, Hong Kong, Singapore, Washington, D.C., Mumbai. How was your experience working in all these different countries, and how do you think through or adapt your investment strategies while working in these diverse markets?
I think overall, like a good investment mm. and good sponsor for any investment is a good sponsor, good in a good company in any geography. Right. I mean, regardless of whether it's in Mumbai or, you know, San Francisco, Washington, Singapore, where have you. So the fundamentals don't change. But I think what does change is sort of how you interact with them. Mm. Adjusting a little bit to the cultural norms.
Right.
And sort of reading some of the body language and trying to get also build a relationship with them, because ultimately, you know, what we are trying to do at IFC is not just to do one-time transaction,
yeah.
but actually to build a relationship so that we can support these companies to do better in those markets. Mm. And as a result, also create international development. So I think that's sort of at a high level, there are certain small things that you need to be aware of when you're, you know, working in these different countries. But again, fundamentally, a good company is a good company anywhere.
Yeah. Could you share with us an example of some of these cultural nuances that you have observed maybe in one of the markets?
Perhaps Maybe let's put it this way. Like an example that I can think of is I was looking at a dairy sector.
Okay.
And I think in Western cultures, or perhaps even in Singapore, butter is probably not considered a very healthy product. It's a very good product, of course. It's flavorful, and people like spreading butter on bread and so on. But at the same time, people don't say, oh, eat more butter, it's nutritious for you. But in India, there is this perception that ghee, which is effectively clarified butter, is a healthy product.
If
you're sick, then you should have more ghee, and which should help you sort of recover sooner, and so on and so forth. And as a result of that, I think when you are interacting and kind of validating investment thesis in companies that produce butter in India, even if you think, okay, well, fundamentally, I think butter is not that healthy for you, it's too much cholesterol, whatever, you know, you have to kind of adjust your perception and basically say, okay, well, you know, I can see why the growth of this market is going to come from this, you know, cultural perception that products from cows are healthy. Mm. And I guess another element of that is, there is a large portion of Indian population that are vegetarian, which also leads to more reliance on dairy products for protein intake, which then also leads to that perception that dairy products are healthier than some of the other countries out there.
Interesting, very interesting. Yeah, and I never really thought of it this way, because you have always been, when you think about it, sometimes you might just apply your own lens to the assessment. But when you really understand the culture, then the way you assess an investment would be very different as well. And thanks for sharing that. And building on, you know, your work experiences and on this topic of culture, could you also share with us some working experiences where you had where cultural understanding and also your language skills came into play to play a role in navigating these opportunities? And I think earlier in your introduction as well, you mentioned that building relationships is key when you are working together with various stakeholders. So how did you know, your language skills and cultural understanding come into play in some of your working experiences?
Perhaps I can give you a concrete example. So in any investment process, there is negotiation.
Mm.
The negotiation of valuation or certain conditions of the investment and so on and so forth. And they can be quite tense.
Yep.
Sometimes it's easy, but sometimes it's not. But oftentimes there are periods of this tenseness.
Mm-hmm.
And what helped sometimes, especially when working with companies that do not speak English as the primary language of communication, is to basically say a few words that is in their language to reduce the tenseness of the meeting. So to give you an example, like we were discussing a particular term on the term sheet, and this was an Indian company whose management spoke Hindi for the primary, you know, for the most part.
Yeah.
And I said, oh, this is so, you know, intense, let's take a break, and I would like to have a bottle of pani, please. So pani is like in Indian, you know, in Hindi, it's water, and it just kind of broke down. Ah, ha ha ha! You know Hindi, and right? And then the water came, and I said, oh, bahut acha hai, which is like, oh, very, very good. You know, it's sort of which again doesn't necessarily mean I'm fluent in Hindi, really.
Right.
But again, you know, that just kind of breaks down the tenseness a bit. And if you make even some grammar mistakes when you say those things, then that kind of puts people at ease. And when people are at ease, then some of these conversations, even if they're quite difficult, can be had with less tense mood. And that really helps both parties to align and get back on track. So that's where I feel sometimes, even if you don't speak the language fluently, you know, helps you, you know, helps you in terms of, you know, going back to the relationship point, kind of building that relationship a bit stronger.
Very nice, very nice. And what do you enjoy most about your role today?
So kind of related to this is really, you know, the fact that it's a global role,
yeah,
with global colleagues from various different backgrounds, mm-hmm. and various different roles within the institution as well. At IFC, we are not just full of investment staff. We also have quite a number of colleagues in different departments that look at economics, look at development, advisory, and managing communications, for example,
right.
and so on. So we have quite a few different colleagues from different backgrounds, different nationalities as well, working together. And I myself can not only look at investments in Asia, which is my primary focus, but also because IFC is a global firm, I can have exposure to different geographies as well. A few years ago, I was in Nigeria to look at an investment there with an Asian shareholder. So I thought that was a very interesting opportunity for me as well.
Yeah. And talking about, projects and deals that you work with, how do you typically measure the success of each project? And at the same time, how do you ensure that this deal or project that you're on is a sustainable one in terms of impact?
So I think a good project is a good project anywhere. You know, it's regardless of whether it's IFC who's doing it or funding it or someone else that's funding it. The key, perhaps, angle that IFC is looking at it is really, one, is it in the emerging market countries that actually needs development finance? That's number one. And then two, as part of our financing documents / agreements, we ask the company to report back to us some key development outcomes.
Yep.
So for example, in let's say a dairy company, they usually don't produce milk by themselves. They reach out to thousands, if not hundreds of thousands, of smallholder farmers, and they collect that milk, and then they process it to make butter that we just spoke about. So then we want the company to let us know how many farmers do they engage with on an annual basis.
Right.
And as a result of IFC's investment, and they're expanding with the number of farmers that they reach out to with that goal. And that becomes a measurement for us to get a sense of how developmental the project was.
Okay. And when making decisions and evaluating opportunities, how do you then balance between financial outcomes and development impact?
So I think it's a bit of a misnomer to think there's a balancing act, per se. Because I think if it's a financially sustainable project, it can be equally, if not more, developmental. And it's not for us to say, oh, although this project is highly developmental, it's not going to generate returns. I think the key, and perhaps just to put it in a slightly different context, let's say, Daphne, put yourself in the shoes. You have a pot of money to invest, and let's say there is a project that is generating very good returns. Generally, if it's a project that is generating good returns, it's doing something good.
Yep.
Right. I mean, of course, unless it's illegal activity.
Yeah.
So, right. And I think that's kind of part of the reason why you would be able to, generate not only returns, but also do well in those countries. And again, IFC's mandate is to invest in the emerging market countries.
Yes.
So if you're doing well in an emerging market country, generally speaking, there are, good development outcomes that come out of it as well.
Very nice, very nice. Mm-hmm. Moving to a bit more of a personal side of questions, mm-hmm. as you step into new countries, being Korean by birth, and also kind of living across different countries, could you share with us how do you typically build your own personal and also professional network as you move from country to country? And mm-hmm. how do you spend time learning about local cultures and also business nuances when you step into a new market?
I think I'm very lucky that IFC has multiple, offices in multiple number of locations.
Yep.
I mean, I would say that we are present in, you know, close to 100 countries around the world. So when I move to a different country, then my country office would be able to help me in terms of, you know, giving me very basic understanding of the cultures and also giving me an opportunity to interact with the local staff or staff that had been there for longer than me to kind of form that kind of the basis. And then I would also, you know, tap into my school network. I was lucky to attend Harvard Business School. So I'm able to, you know, build some network with my school alumni associations. And generally, again, you know, the school has presence. The alumni network has presence in many countries around the world. And I think another person, and this is more of a personal experience in Mumbai, I spoke with quite a number of Korean companies and then made good friends with their staff. And I know some of the Singaporeans that I met in Mumbai, they actually kind of congregated around this. The general manager of Singapore Airlines was based in Mumbai at the time to, you know, enjoy Singaporean food together and so on. So I think that also helps, you know, having, you know, basically using your national affiliation to some extent to build a personal network around that.
Very nice. Very nice. With that, we wrap up the English segment of today's episode. So we'll now move on to the Chinese rapid fire questions. 我们现在就进行快问快答的环节。那Sean，你准备好了吗？
Okay. I mean, 不好意思，我的中文不太好。Well, let's do this.
Okay. Okay. 那首先您能用中文介绍一下自己吗？
Yeah, well, 我叫Sean An. 我是在香港工作的韩国人。我在世界银行集团工作。
好的，那就是在社会环境和治理等影响支柱中， 你最热衷的是哪一个支柱呢？
我最热衷于社会问题。
Okay.
因为我关心人们和他们的福祉。
好的，那最后一道问题， 就是你最近读了什么书， 想要推荐给我们的观众吗？
我正在读 一本名为 What to Expect the First Year 的书。 我正在11月 生孩子。 这本书很好。
好的，那现在我们的播客就今天到此为止。 那非常感谢Sean今天抽空和我们分享你的经验，工作经验， 也分享了就是你对于在投资当中的那些领域， 还有一些思考， 还有，所以很感谢你加入今天我们的播客。 Thank you so much, Sean, for sharing with us all your valuable insights as well as your experiences. It's very interesting to see and learn more about how investment in the emerging markets is like. And thank you very much for taking the time for today's podcast episode.
Well, thank you, Daphne. It was a pleasure.
Thank you so much. Thank you for listening to Business Beyond Borders. If you have any feedback or thoughts, do write into us at support@bluen.com. Click to follow to tune into the next episode. See you again soon.